basement of the Guys Games and Beer headquarters. Holy shit, it is a low effort podcast today. It's Guys Games and Beer!
Yeah!
Get that better?
A little more effort?
Now we're talking.
All right.
Yippee Skippy!
Yippee Skippy!
There's not enough said for doing nothing.
It's just.
Yeah. Yes, there is! It's called doing nothing!
So here's the beer you can pour on your phone.
Sweet.
So they have podcasts.
Here, I'm going to pour this beer all over my phone. I know how much you like getting foam in your face.
New podcast, Raging the Nation.
Hey! You didn't see that. I was thirsty.
The new podcast, Raging the Nation, doing nothing. Just an hour's worth of somebody doing nothing.
That's pretty much our podcast.
That's pretty much our lives.
Yeah,
I was going to say, that's life.
Doing nothing.
Yeah.
With your host.
Guys, Games, and Beer.
All right, so we have Beer Court tonight, and Larry's picked up something.
We totally didn't start Beer Court.
Yeah, we probably should pick up the logo.
Well, thing, so you made it.
Bum. Beer Court. Coupon. That was nice.
All right, so Larry, what are we doing on Beer Court?
Okay, today we have a brew from One Barrel out of Madison, Wisconsin.
I've never heard of them.
I have heard quite a bit, or seen it popping up more regularly lately. This one was a little intriguing to me because of the name. Fifth Element, and why is it intriguing?
Because, what is my favorite movie? Fifth Element!
Yeah. So I thought, I'll buy this beer because Tom loves the Fifth Element. And what it is a rye Indian pale ale. So.
Wow!
Yeah, I read that too and I thought the same thing.
Thank you for that vote of confidence there, Ben.
Apparently, they were founded during the 377th meeting of one of the Gentlemen's Brewing and Distillery Society meetings. It was that the OBBC would showcase their enjoyable making and drink all manner of beer can be.
Larry's
reading is captivating.
But I don't think I'm wrong.
You're not wrong, Larry.
This is really poor English.
Yeah, I think the idea is it was written during one of those same meetings.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They were drinking everything.
Yeah, because, wow. Somebody was really smashed, or they had some Chinese guy translate it for them. One of the two, because that's really amazing English on that one.
So, we will try a rye. So, what was substituted? Hops?
No, you'll still have hops in it. It's a pale ale.
Water.
So instead of barley?
Instead of barley.
Instead of barley, they used rye. Well, rye is barley. I mean, it's just different.
Alright.
I don't know if you wanted to read it.
Okay, I get that.
You know, I'm not bad with that. It does have a slightly rye taste to it.
Yeah. Which I kind of like. In fact, one of the whiskeys I drink is a rye whiskey, so I kind of like that.
You're a whiskey.
I am not bad with that.
Not bad. I mean, I'm not an IPA guy in any way, so the hops at the end. But at first, the taste is not really bad until that kicks in.
Okay, so now... Again, we're drinking out of a bottle. I'm getting a bit of a titty taste at the end, though.
No, I don't have any titties.
Did you say a titty taste?
Depends on the titties.
Tinny. I don't get that. But I think...
You getting the titty taste?
Titty taste.
You getting the titty taste.
All right, I'm the only one not tasting it.
I think the rye
kind of... A lot of Indian pale ales.
Very old.
I have a lot of bite. I think this mellows.
Yeah.
And I think the rye mellows it.
Yeah. No, I just... Oh, my God.
Well, that's why you're...
Yeah.
Well, cheers. Good for you. All right.
You're behind.
I'm trying to do all three of these chats.
I gotta come up with a better way
of doing this.
We probably should be organized and have one
person.
6.5. Okay, so for an IPA, that's a little higher than normal alcohol content. Hey, and it actually says it in big letters on the front. Hey, yeah. You know what? If you brew a beer, it's really good to put the APV on the outside where we can read it.
Yeah, I fucking hate that.
Thank no, you. I do too. I'm sorry, because...
It's very big letters.
Well, I'm blind. Big letters help.
I just like to know how drunk I'm going to get and how quickly I cannot... get it.
Exactly. Thank you.
I cannot believe...
Let me do some math real quick.
You don't taste the titty.
No, I'm not kidding.
The more I drink it, it builds up, too.
It's like... Yeah.
It builds up. Some beers you drink and they're going to get better. This one gets tinnier as I drink it.
Tinnier or tinnier?
Tinnier.
I wish it was getting tinnier, but it's getting tinnier. I want big titties on my beer. Yeah, no, the more I drink it...
Smelling it, I can smell the tin.
Yeah, you can. That's really weird.
Quit huffing tin.
I want to go back to Huff and Paint.
Yeah, maybe in a cup it would air that out.
Huff and Lead would be better.
I'm getting more and more as I drink it. I literally, a metallic taste now in my mouth.
It almost made me think like my lip was bleeding at first or something.
No, it's getting more metallic the more I drink it, which I find disturbing.
You know, I was going to go maybe on this one, but...
Yeah, I don't think... No, that's...
Just because
drink,
the tin is...
All right, yeah, the more I drink, I hate to say this, this is one that the more I drink... It's not better. Literally, my mouth tastes like I've been sucking on a tin can.
I'm average.
Right?
I actually kind of like it.
Okay.
But I'm not getting
my
that.
Thing is,
Tom, this is what sucking your dick must taste like.
Damn straight. I got a big hunk of metal there.
I'm going to go sideways.
All right.
I'm okay with it.
It could be a bad batch as well.
It could. Yeah.
Especially because of the tinny flavor, it could be a bad
it's
batch.
It's odd that they...
I don't think they do huge batches.
Yeah, it's a small
batch.
It's
one...
And this goes back down to consistency, right? So now I'm going to go down. This, like I said, the more I drink, the less I like.
Yeah, I'll try it again, but...
All right.
Well,
Judge Rob, pass verdict.
Charge one of tasting like Tom's dick, I find you guilty.
Hey, I like that flavor.
The worst part is that everybody knows what my dick tastes like.
Where's
my dick
taste,
everybody?
Hey. Drink more, Larry, it helps.
What, sucking your dick?
Yes!
Being drunker does help.
Count two, impersonating an element. Fucking guilty, mother effer.
Yeah.
I sentence you...
I guess gin would be an element.
Two? What do I sentence you to?
Drinking
I guess
element.
We'll drink it?
Yeah, I guess we'll drink it.
Alright. So, Rob, what's the real topic tonight?
Titties.
Class.
You know, I am perfectly good. If we're going to go over that topic, I have got tons of material for that topic.
I've done a recent
spat Ted Cruz
on my other show of reviews of a bad series of games. And this is how this came up. Because, they always talk about how bad E.T. was. And I got to tell you, no... There's a lot of games, even on the Atari, that are worse than E.T., but I think we're going to open this up a little bit to games that are worse than E.T. in general. And I really think E.T.'s badness is overblown. I think part of being bad, I guess, is the expectation of it being great and then it not being great. But I sometimes think... that it gets overblown because of that, and it's badness.
Well, and there is a...
Well, it's
part
of the story, too. It's part of the myth.
Yeah, it's because
of the buried cartridges and all that.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you. I think E.T., having played the game, it is terrible. As far as, like, the worst game or whatever, it's just, almost became cool just to
rip on
E.T. Like,
in fact, Code Monkeys did a whole episode on that.
Which is, by the way, one of my favorite shows of all time.
And they're one of their best episodes.
But it is a terrible game because it hits many elements. The game itself seems to go nowhere.
Elements?
Yeah. The game goes nowhere. I mean, you know, the controls don't make a lot of sense, you know.
It's a great show.
It does taste like it.
It does!
When I played it, I was 9 or 10 or whatever year
E.T.
it was. So
I was
in that Atari age, I think I was fine with E.T. I didn't think it was too awful. But then again,
too awful. You were also 9 or 10.
As a child, think about movies really wanted you saw and you're like, oh, that's awesome. And you're like,
did you ever
did you
ever simply like get past falling in a hole? Or
that was one of those really painful things. Like try to get out of the hole, fall back in.
And then if you did get out of the hole, some guy grabbed you and like hauled you away.
Yeah.
And it's like
mysterious.
You never really get it. Like okay. Even like Pac-Man, it's a maze. Complete the maze, yay done. All right, here's another maze. Complete a maze. But you know, at least you know when you've like successfully done something. Well, E.T. never felt like you understood whatever success was.
Did you read the manual? Because I finished it. Even though I got pissed off at it, people finish it in like 12 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, I can read.
I
read the manual.
All right. Well, let's again. So that using that as a starting point, that it's not just the fact that the game is bad, but also the high expectations for the game can really sour you on a game. So I'm going to go first with this because that is really where I start out with. Again. All you guys know, we love our mech games here, and we particularly love one game, Steel Battalion. So Steel Battalion came out for the original Xbox, and we literally have days where we set up and do that. By the way, if you're going to Gamehole Con, which is the first weekend in November, we will be running a full Steel Battalion networked game setup there, full 10 rigs. You didn't hear yet. So I'm making an announcement. No, we're still doing the podcast. We're actually going to be running two areas.
Okay.
We've got a separate crew running the Steel Battalion, but Guys, Games, and Beer is
Real Steel Battalion.
That. Real Steel Battalion on the Xbox One. So we love Steel Battalion. It's
not
a great
Kinect
game.
Version.
And here comes the downside. So they were going to reboot the Steel Battalion, and there's been talk about doing this before. You know, making a mech controller and coming out with a new Steel Battalion kind of game. And there's been all sorts of talk on the line. Finally, Microsoft goes, yeah, we're going to go ahead and do this again. Capcom goes in with them, yeah, we're doing this again. And they decide, well, you know, to keep it cheaper, we won't make a controller for it. Everybody has the Kinects nowadays for the 360. We'll make one for the 360 with the Kinects. And you'll use the Kinects, and it'll monitor your motions and know how to control your mech.
Kinect or Kinects? Because those are two different things.
Kinect. For your Xbox.
You'll build a controller yourself.
For your Xbox Kinect. It sucked. It was horribly...
Hey, Kinects were fun, damn it.
It was horribly unplayable. Not that the game itself didn't have good elements in it. Nice graphics, good storyline, blah, blah, blah. But the control system was so...
Garbage.
You couldn't control your mech. It lagged. It didn't pick up the movements.
It got released, honestly.
No, neither do I. It was that bad. It was so bad, it should have never released. Because, first of all, they had horrible sales in it, because it as soon as a few people tried it out, went, oh, this just does not work at all. You cannot do it.
I remember being excited about it, and then I read the reviews, and just like, that was like, what they're saying is like, their games, I mean, major titles they're buggy. They're going to be, just because the huge depth of them and how massive the maps and everything can be in them, they're going to be buggy. But this was beyond that. This was just, like, unusable. It made no sense that was literally released. There's no way the developer was like,
oh, this is
this
good.
Works. It works.
Yeah. No, there's no
way.
No, honestly, you're right. I cannot see how anybody sat down and played, any beta testers, any developer could have sat down and played that game and thought, oh, this works great. You were lucky 25% of the time it actually got your controls right when you were doing the controls. If that.
The only thing that made sense is it had to be like, I don't know if it was public, whoever was like, hey, no, you're releasing it. Deal with it. And they just couldn't finish it. That's the only thing that actually makes sense to me. Because it was that bad. Just out of curiosity,
now, do we think it would have been technically possible for them to have made a new steel battalions for the 360 that used the old controller?
Yes! Yes, it would have been. Because, here's the thing, there is an adapter from Xbox to USB. We've used the three, if you remember, on some of the early mech days especially, we used to play a lot of Mech Force using the steel battalion controllers. So there's no reason they couldn't have even made it so the new game used the original controller. I understand there's a limited amount out there. They probably could have got the company to produce more. I'm sure the original molds are still floating around somewhere, all the original stuff. Yes. Cost wise,
thank God,
it's cost prohibitive. I mean, it is. I mean, those.
I mean,
the
idea,
I know they, but they were, and they were pushing.
The idea, but was it good? It wasn't an idea.
At the time, they were
pushing it. Like it, that's a fine idea, but it was just done so poorly that I still can't process how it was released.
And it's not out of the realm of the mech world to have sort of, me moving
right,
to.
Right. We've talked about this. If you watch Pacific Rim, I mean, that's a perfect example of it monitoring your motion and you're doing the wind. It wasn't. Again, conceptually, not a bad idea if it would have worked.
Yeah.
But it was. There's no way they released that knowing it was ever going to work. It didn't work. Again, you were lucky 25% of the time it picked up the right motion. Or the right.
It probably would have picked up the motion because, it. Like just moving like this, like okay, I'm moving, and that picks up. But they didn't have little hand controls for like firing.
And it can't do that. And that is the problem.
And if they had added little hand controls,
you're right. Even if they would have added, so you could use the pad and it picked up motion, that might have been enough.
Yeah, you gotta have your hands free.
You don't. You could have done some other kind of gesture. You could have done other things with it. You could have had it so when you tilted, your mech tilted.
Yeah.
Because
the Kinect does a decent job with that kind of gross body movement.
With gross body movements. It doesn't do well with fine movement.
Yeah.
And that's gross body movements.
All top body movements are gross.
They are really, actually. Trust me. I mean, they are horrible. So wait a minute. Before we go any further, we
gross
have somebody with us tonight. A G2B not so regular anymore. Who's the
irregular?
Who is the black box tonight?
That's me.
Who is?
Always been me.
Wait a minute. Who is me?
Me. That could be two different voices.
For people who may not
I'm afraid
not,
I can't
not,
answer that.
I've not watched the show in a while. Who is me?
It's Ben. I'm back.
It's Ben. He's back. And he came back.
Phantom Ben.
He came back as a black box.
Who's Ben Black? Scary. I don't know him.
I did say black box. Box.
And do we need to say
Black Cox?
Thank you.
See, I got my finger on your big black box.
Black Cox.
All right, so that's my pick for bad game. And again, and here's the part of what made it bad. Expectation. It was just like going back to the original, everybody had great expectations for E.T., and then the game sucked. All of the people who were into Steel Battalion thought, oh my God, they're bringing back Steel Battalion.
I was so excited.
And the game sucked. And it sucked because of the controller.
Were you forced to always just use Kinect or have off?
No, they didn't. Exactly.
It was a Kinect feature.
And that's what ruined the game.
Alright, I'm going to go next.
You go next.
I have a game, expectations weren't built up as much, but it still did. It had a great idea, and it was just shitty. Spore. Spore was a flaming piece of garbage.
Yes.
Well, it tended not to work. I actually liked the game, but it was so fundamentally broken when it came out. It didn't, on the Mac, it didn't work for like 2 months. I was running the Mac for it because I figured I'll play something on the Mac.
To me, it was a great concept.
It didn't work.
I really liked the idea of like evolving something and like literally making it, not just a civilization, literally evolving it from like single cells and stuff. It was a great idea, and it just was stupid. I mean, I had expectations for it, and especially for a full price game at the time. I felt so cheated. It was just the worst. It was like a dumpster full of used diapers and hair that was on fire.
Wow.
Delicious. I probably should have picked that up.
No. The diapers or the game? I don't know which one you're talking about.
The diapers would have been a better bet. I'm just going to put it out there.
They're wrapped at least in them.
Sounds like either.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, with S'more being, like, it was a fun game.
Did you say S'more?
He said S'more.
Yeah, S'more.
S'more.
S'more was our fun game. You're wrong.
It was a decent game at points, but yeah, that, like, the whole pie, I don't want to eat the whole pie. I'll take a whiff that downstairs, but
like
I don't want to
have to
eat
the whole pie. The only part that I really enjoyed was the very beginning when you're like a single cell organism that felt okay.
Yeah, why isn't
but after
that longer
that,
period?
It just,
like, you can, I just want to play single cell.
So,
I just
basically, it was like, hey, choose A or B.
The creature stage.
So,
like, it literally
your
like,
life's goal is to be a single cell again.
Hey, I am perfectly good with that life goal.
As long as I get drunk, it's fine.
That's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Purpose. I'll have a tail, it'll be great.
Who doesn't want a tail?
Hey, wait, I already have one.
Wrong side. It's like in your back.
Oh, okay, never mind. Give you a tail. All right, so who wants to go next?
I got mine.
All right.
Go ahead. So last week I gave praise to a 3DO game with Metal Ties, Way of the Warrior on the 3DO. This week I'm going to go to the opposite end of crappy fighter games, and it would have been Shadow Wars Succession.
Succession?
Succession. It's a porn game.
Yeah. Where Way of the Warrior wasn't that great of a motion capture type game with, you know, fighting elements. Shadow felt like a.
I had to tell you, I should shut your mouth. I loved that game.
You didn't like it? Did you enjoy it?
I actually did enjoy
it. Okay, it was fun. I mean, in college, we played a lot of that game.
I could see
back and forth. Just, it was silly, fun. Yeah, the white zombie. But Shadow was like.
I know.
Like an unfinished game.
Fists of Metal. That's what that was going on there.
So in Shadow, you have like, you know, you got the character select screen that comes up, and just two random bodies are just kind of shaking with their like three frames of animation. You had your seven players in the middle of players you could choose from. And then you would press play, and it would just kind of stay silent for like half a minute while it's loading the stage up. And then you'd fight. And then you'd have these like fast movement, low frame rate, motion capture characters trying to fight each other that didn't seem to connect. or anything like that, and then you'd also have the fact that you could just like spam an attack against the other, you know, the AI or somebody else, and just keep them away, kind of thing, like fireball, fireball, fire, and somehow you could keep them away or whatever movement was in the game that your player. Hopefully, you would choose a player that had something like that, because otherwise, you apparently didn't win the game at all if you played the computer.
So you had to have a distance weapon.
One guy, literally, you're talking about fighting a game. One guy had a shotgun. For some reason, this guy would pull out a shotgun and bang.
And he would shoot people.
Yeah.
And it turned out he won a lot.
I bring a gun to a fist
fight. Fist fight. For some reason, he was like, but you know, these mad
like,
people that just
I feel
go
like that's a good way
with
to
their
go.
Hands with them. Hadouken. Yeah. So you'd have these two different fighters, and like it was just very erratic, and the characters would kind of like. Not really run into each other, but you'd hit each other. The sounds were like
the guy that had no projectile weapon at all died all the time.
So on top of that, when you're fighting each other and you get to the end, you know, like you kill the normal 2 out of 3, it would say like finish him or finish. The developer never included a finishing move or anything like this because this is right after. literally, like finish him was like. Well, I'm just going to punch you one more time so you fall. Which is the equivalent of, like, what most people do in Mortal Kombat. If they didn't know a finishing move, they just run up to the person. And he said one more time.
That's
they
amazing.
No finishing moves, even though they said,
finish
him. Finish. And then, of course, they end the matches with, like, the one-liner or the characters, like, oh, I will kill you, you know, or I killed you. That was, like, the
we made love!
And one guy just went, like, that was his, like, starting move, like, when you this guy against this guy. So, you have to.
Hello.
The finish story.
The finishing
part
in Mortal Kombat was fucking brilliant.
It was.
Yeah.
I swear, in even the other game, I did punch someone and they fell over and went, hey.
So I sure wasn't just like wind being expelled. I'm like,
I think because the 3DO wasn't a very well-known system, and at this time, like, I think the developer just went, everyone's doing motion capture for fighters right now.
Wait, what do you mean at the time? Isn't it always been a relatively unknown system?
They were trying to break into the market.
CGI
feelings hurt.
They thought that $700 price point would be a real winner.
Yeah. Dropping truth bombs.
Well, no, it had power. It had the power. I mean, you were paying for what you were getting. It just didn't have the developers.
So that was my. I'm
I'm an engineer. We always blame it on the software people.
Absolutely.
It's because
Larry,
worst.
It's your fault.
Damn it, Larry!
Anybody who wants a fun time, just look up that game. Watch people review it on YouTube or whatever. It's funny. You watch and it's like, oh, that game was just painful.
So Robert, and this is a big bitching about developers, right?
This is yes. In a big time where like everyone was trying to come up with that next great fighting game, you know, because you had. Street Fighter, you have Mortal Kombat, you have
the big success of like that. It's like everyone wants to jump in.
Beat those guys.
But
no,
jump.
They must have been like handing a bunch of money, like, we're going to make a game. And no, it was awful.
It was like two college students, you know, like, we're going to make a game.
Maybe we can't make the game we were hoping for.
But we'll still release it.
All right, Larry, what do you got?
All right, so I, to be honest, at first, had kind of a hard time with this topic because just offhand, it was nothing that was sticking in my head. Like, God, I hated that game and stuff like that, you know, because either I abandoned them quickly or I'm a little behind the curve. So. Like, you know, most people know I'm buying a Xbox 360 when people are buying a PlayStation 4. And, you know, so a little behind.
Well, you know
what the greatest hit titles are by then, because you know they've been out already 10 years, and so you know it's hard to like really just hone in on the terrible games. But I was reminded as I kind of reviewed some other people's lists of a time when I was on cutting edge. I was a cutting edge
Atari?
Gamer. No, Dreamcast.
Oh, yeah, you were.
I was a cutting edge, bought it like week it came out kind of thing. Yeah.
Which just hit its. How old is Dreamcast now?
99. 17 years.
17 years, something like
that. No,
might be 18.
Almost legal.
It is 18 years.
It's
18
years.
It is. It just turned 18. That's right. It just turned 18.
All
right.
So.
On Saturday.
And of course, one of the really, really good games for it was Speed Demons. Man, it nailed racing in that game.
Talk about shitty games.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I got to build it because as it was.
Everything Larry says has to build to something for like 2 hours.
Yeah, back to expectations here, you know? So you had, you know, this actual racing game, which was one of the first racing games I really felt like, man. The control is so good on this. This is just so good. And so as a racing family, and there's a game that came out, The Spirit of Speed, 1937.
I remember that.
So, you imagine jumping into the old open sprints of the 30s, no roll cages, you know, brake on the outside, you know, yeah. So you get into this thing, and it is terrible. The controls, you can't control the car for anything.
Maybe they went for realistic controls.
I tried to load up Russo, but,
No luck.
I was pretty sure that Russo would be in there, but...
The Russo Racing Team?
Yeah, I thought the Russo Racing Team would be in there, but I couldn't load it up. You know, I tried screaming down the Indianapolis 500 and nothing. It was just terrible. It was uncontrollable. I think I played it a total of like a frustrating hour, and it sits in my basement.
Now, there was a time. Now, see, that's interesting though, because the Dreamcast overall, I don't think has a whole lot of titles that I would consider failures. I mean, pretty much everything on the Dreamcast was a solid title. They really had very few bad
somehow,
games. This one was.
Somehow they slipped in Racing Shovelware. And it was everything that Racing Shovelware has ever been.
Oh,
awful. Oh.
It was awful. It was awful. And I had so much promise for it. Now for me, there was maybe a little more promise than the average person. And I think Rob could probably relate, you know, that, hey, you know, these are, you know, some of our heritage, you know. So, and even more so for Rob than me. And it was like, oh, I'm so excited for this. Because I had plans of building a cockpit and stuff, but this thing worked well.
Yeah.
You know, it was going to be...
Not that kind of cockpit there,
bro. I had a control... I bought a racing controller, you know, a hand wheel and everything. And I had a lot of expectations for this. And I've been searching for this style of racing, a good one.
Well, that's a big damn disappointment when you're getting ready to...
Yeah, when you're thinking about making that kind of dedication to a game.
Well, because the graphical power Dreamcast should have been good enough to really deliver.
Yeah, well, now that being said, I think it was better though with 2D games, fighters, platformers.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember there being, I mean, any really good 3D games. I mean, we played Heavy Metal Gear Tricks, which is,
that's a good 3D game.
Which
yeah,
is
but
not
a fighter,
bad.
I mean, isn't Soul Calibur
sure.
a 3D?
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah,
well,
that's true. Now that you mentioned it,
should have been.
No, you're right.
Power Stone was great.
That's true. No, never. No, you're right.
It should have been able to handle.
I said correcting. Yeah, you're right.
It's good.
Yeah, handle Rez.
Oh, what was the speedboat?
Rez.
What was the speedboat game?
I know. Amazing, right?
What's that?
Hydro Thunder.
Hydro Thunder. Thank you. Hydro Thunder was amazing.
Hydro Thunder.
The problem, it really,
yeah,
it really was just shovel. I mean, because it, I had high expectations for it, but
yeah,
it still came
yeah.
out, I think, originally at a $20 price point, and it probably should have tipped me off.
Yeah. That
I was spending approximately $20 too much. when most of the other games were 40.
That's terrible.
You know, so it was terrible. Because Saturday Night at the Races was another one of my big hopes.
Yeah.
For the PlayStation 2.
Which
wasn't too bad of a game.
It didn't really
work. Yeah, that was a good game.
But the graphics were still not quite there yet. To sort of, I want to live in this.
I remember those.
Yeah.
Now we got VR in there, so.
Right, I know. Now I need that VR midget racing game.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right, let's move on.
Let's settle for a sprint.
Benson!
Yeah?
What do you got?
So it was a knee-jerk purchase, because I was at and those are always bad. They're just like, I have the internet in my hand, I should be able to just do the half second of research to be like, this game is terrible. But I was at a local comic book store, got really excited about just being like, yay, comic book store! Bought Metroid Prime and Metroid Prime Secret Files for the DS. And that game is terrible. Because...
But it has the Metroid moniker!
Yes!
It must be good!
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, like, yeah, sweet! Like, it was so good on the Game Boy Advance. It's just going to be amazing again. And it's terrible. It's the first-person shooter one, and it's like, I don't want to play Metroid like this. Especially on 3DS. It's just like, man, this sucks. And that I can't use, like, I got the Pro, so you usually can use that little diddly nipple to, like, mimic what you do with the actual touch screen, but no, the diddly nipple don't even work. It don't even do nothing. So
screw
it's
you,
like,
diddly
no,
nipple.
Ben, I don't think you're diddling the nipple correctly.
I didn't even lick my hands before I've touched my controller.
You did. Okay, well, then you
sit on it a little bit.
Did you try flicking it?
Did you make sure your hands were warm? Did you make sure your hands were warm?
I even turned on Barry White, dude.
Damn. You went all out.
He was getting
I made
so
a nice deal for it, everything.
Did you try clamps?
Do nothing.
That's sad.
Getting too far?
That's it. Well, maybe a touch. All right, yeah. No, yeah, so that, and again, this is an expectation game, because you see the Metroid name and you think, oh, it's a Metroid game. You know, I'm going to be...
Yeah, it's going to be...
And I feel like most bad games that get in a bad reputation really have to have that, because you can buy a bad game, and it's going to be a bad game. It's like, oh, that sucks.
I got a bad game.
You have that build-up, it's like, fuck, that sucks.
Big difference.
And you know what? I should have taken Larry's advice. There was a $20 price point on both games. Yeah, they're probably a shit game.
Probably.
You know, and you bring up an interesting point about, franchises that significantly change game style play.
Right.
So I remember, for me, switching from Zelda to Zelda 2, Zelda 2 was horrible to me. But now a lot of people know how Zelda 2 was great. But by switching the style of gameplay so dramatically that it just was like, I'm out. You know. And that kind of sounds like what happened to you, is you expected, side shooter, and then you went to a first person. It was like, well, if I wanted a first person, I'll just play Battlefield. And,
I wouldn't play Battlefield on a 3DS, though. This doesn't work. I have to move the game and shoot at the same time. Like, this is impossible.
Battlefield.
So, it didn't work on that system. So I just think when you have kind of a franchise that's really incorporated, and then you change the style quite a bit.
Well, and it can be something where the game is fine, but the controller issues, and this goes back down to my original game here, with the controller issue as well, it kind of took away a lot from the game. If you don't get your control scheme down right, you're going to be screwed. Gameplay is, we talk about game mechanics all the time, but game controls are deadly important.
I think that's kind of a standard of bad, really bad games.
The controls suck. Being screwed
Disagree up. That you can have bad controls and still be a phenomenally great game that's a hit across many years.
Which one?
Burger Time.
No, honestly, I do not mind the Burger Time controls.
Yeah, I'll try getting off a fucking ladder for a little bit.
It's a four-way joystick.
It's not a four-way.
He's not Jumpman where he can
Thank you.
Look, I'm one freaking pixel below the line. I think you can assume, like almost every game did at that time, that I want to go there.
That's safe to climb off a ladder unless you're fully at the
top. Correct, thank you.
You're not supposed to climb to the top two.
It's a safety game.
That's right, It's OSHA approved.
But that was a game that I think a lot of people were frustrated with the controls because of how hardcore it was, and you have to be at the top of the ladder or the bottom of the ladder to be able to successfully move onto whatever plane you're moving to. And that was really frustrating. But the game had enough other charms that
overcame the controls.
Yeah, I'm going to not worry about that. And
The gameplay on the game was really good. Again, solid game mechanic, good gameplay. For its time, it had good graphics. In fact, a lot of the ports had really good graphics. So it really went very well.
Well, what's interesting, a lot of the ports...
They
created a sort of a slop on the, on the ladder.
I think they all did. I can't remember any of the ports where they were as bad as they were.
So some of the ports were actually nicer to play.
Yeah.
The actual arcade game.
I was just looking. Hard Hat Mac was never released for the ColecoVision, but it was ready to ship. That's sad.
All right, so
similar
Rob,
game.
You get to wrap this up.
That sounds like Fixing Felix.
You know what? They should sue. If anybody left
Hard
Hat and made that game, you guys should sue. Sue him. Speaking of suing, here's one. I think that this company has to be taken as an entirety. I think you need to. I think you need to take the whole body of work to really fully appreciate
Midcon's
horrific status as an Atari. Game manufacturer.
May have covered this guy before.
This one, I just actually played their games recently. I've got, I do an Atari gig on my YouTube station, and I ran into these because they're They're not rare, but they're semi-rare, so they, I kind of like to do stuff that isn't done a lot. Holy crap. They're amazing. I started with Star Fox, you know, which they should have sued, definitely. Nintendo, they should have sued Nintendo for Star Fox, because they definitely made the definitive version of Star Fox if you like sucky games. I am going to point out, they recommended using, like, a roller controller with it, but of course nobody had the damn roller controller for the Atari 2600. There's, like, five people who did it. I'm sure somebody out there listening has had the roller controller. Well, you're the only damn one. but they released them anyway, you know, and it was a joyous day game. So, Star Fox, it was... number one, I'm going to start as a group. All the games use the same engine. The same kind of screwed up engine. And there was like two zones in it, and there was always like a ground area. And in the ground area in Star Fox, you couldn't move left or right. You could only go down. And it was kind of like Defender, and you had to kind of pick things up. But you couldn't move left or right, and you were scrolling erratically. So it was damn impossible to pick things up. It was really, really hard. It would take you a really long time to pick something up because you were always overshooting it or undershooting it. And then crap would inevitably kill you immediately when you got down there. So you try to kill everything and go down, but it would take you so goddamn long to try and pick the thing up you were supposed to pick up. There are dots, by the way. There are dots. You're picking up dots. they were called, I don't know, Cryptosporidium. I don't know what they were called. But they, no, it was bad. So you play that game, right?
Fields.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, Mythicon released another one. Actually, that was the last one they released, but still. There was Sorcerer, which was the same idea, except you could move left and right when you're on the ground, but you couldn't fire, and everything would just kill you. So there's really absolutely no reason to go on the ground. So they would start you on the ground with... your flying carpet, which they didn't call a flying carpet, they called it a flying platform, because it was indeed just a line. And it would fly around.
It was 2600, though.
Yeah,
you got to think about it.
It would fly around.
Yeah, it was going to be a line.
And you would wait until it came low enough for you to get it, but it had sloppy controls, of course, as aforementioned. Sloppy controls, so it was goddamn difficult to get it, and you had to push up while you're heading towards it. And then you'd get on it, and finally you could fire. And then you'd go to the next screen, where inevitably you'd freaking die pretty much immediately, because you could only fire one shot at a time and wait for it to hit the end of the screen before you could fire again. And everything else is moving at 500 miles an hour. Not that there's a lot of variety, because there would be three enemies on the screen, but they'd all be linked together, so they'd all be moving together. And they'd just basically mow you over.
What was the technological weaponry idea of the you can't fire until another bomb that laser has successfully gone enough distance that you can now refire?
I don't think they figured it out.
Wasn't that Space Invaders
charging?
No, it was, but
you can actually hit something in Space Invaders. There was actually a skill game there. I mean, you actually could time your firing where in Sorcerer, because you're going left to right and moving erratically, much like Star Fox, you couldn't really line up a shot. So you would try and get as close as you could with your erratic steering, by the way.
I just want to understand, like, the idea behind, like, it'd be one thing if it's like you have a recycle time, okay, 5 seconds. That'd be a standard recycle time, right? Not like, hey, until it's hit something or is off the screen.
Yeah.
What?
I believe.
By the way, you could take your bullet back, by the way, Gorf or one of those games where like
Gorf.
you would start the
shoot.
Fire
and if you shot,
and if you
far,
shot again it took your bullet yeah. back and then it would fire.
Which it was penalizing, but at least it was original for its time and you could use it to your advantage if you missed.
Right. Oh, that's not gonna hit nothing.
There was strategy where this was just it was a shit show. And then finally, don't worry because there's more. There's Firefly.
What? Sorry, I distract you.
There's it's all right.
Oh, you get three games.
There's Firefly.
But if you have to get four.
Which sounds like a great series you should watch on Netflix.
Which, can we guess what kind of game it is?
Firefly?
Yeah.
It's a garden game.
It's a, yeah, but it's a Defender side-scrolling game because all their games use the same engine. They're Defender side-scrolling games. You could, however, go to the bottom of the screen finally and move around. And unfortunately,
they finally figured out how to move in that territory.
Yeah, well, they found another way to make the game impossible. I'm just coming off of this, so I'm passionate about it. But you had the aforementioned. By the way, Sorcerer, by the way, would also give you little prizes when you kill them. I have to mention that because they use the exact same prizes in Firefly. So in Firefly, you would shoot three enemies locked together. And then you would get a prize, which was from Sorcerer. But better than that, they had a section where you'd have to free the fairy. The fairy would have to be freed and handle the flies buzzing around it. But of course, that was randomized. So and you couldn't steer. Because not steering was if they had anything down to a science, Mythicon had. Not controlling well down to a science, so you would freaking you try to time it so that these flies weren't there, but they were random, right?
Yeah.
And you couldn't hit the thing, so it's pretty much fucking random that you're gonna get this thing when there's no flies. Well, there were mutant flies, so they'd kill you. But anyway, so they were no, they were bees. I'm sorry. How the hell can you tell they're dots? But anyway, you're going to get them, and you see it. Ah, it's clear. Bam! And you die.
Did you beeline it?
Yes. Oh. You made a, but you couldn't make a beeline because you know you're steering randomly. All right. So finally, you save the fairy, and
did the fairy have boots?
And you got 30 fucking points. 30 points.
Oh, yeah, man, 30 points.
Which, if you just skip the screen, which later on you find out, you could just fly past the dumbass fairy and fuck it, not even try and get the fairy. You could then shoot something else and get more points anyway in the end, after two screens, which you could actually do, unlike the goddamn fairy.
Is the goal to get points?
But the poor fairy was dead, or not captured, or collected.
It's a fairy. You can have it fly, goddamn.
Brutally slaughtered.
Are you not going to give Mythicon a pass for their low cartridge price point of $10 per game at the Atari 2600 level?
Mean, there's
you can buy three games for $30 when the average price of one game.
You can buy the entire Mythicon library and get the entire Mythicon experience for
in
$30 bucks straight.
Two, right?
Yeah.
Or four.
That's pretty goddamn impressive. I gotta say,
they did have a low price point for their games.
If you hated your kid.
You
could truly hated your kid. You could just get them that whole set for Christmas. They'd probably be set until maybe summer.
I'm starting to hear a theme here that low price point came.
Yeah, just generally low price point for a reason.
You know, remember, and it's at least on topic. Remember when Target generated their own Commodore 64 games? Do you remember any of them?
No.
They were all horrendous. They would come up with a high-budget game.
It's really intriguing that they were creating their own
game. Really?
They had a Target logo.
But Target was big in the Commodore. They were one of the first ones who...
That's where I got my Commodore.
Yeah, who really went nuts when the 64 came out. They didn't do much on the VIC-20, but when the 64 came out, Target went balls in on the 64. I got my first disk drive.
They stayed on Target?
No, I got my first 64, I'm sorry, my first disk drive at Target. That also being said, every time my disk drives a fail, I bring it back to Target and get a new one.
Yeah, their
return policy was freaking awesome. It's a year old. It doesn't work anymore.
These computer things smell like cigarette smoke.
Remember Vic?
Yeah.
He returned. But he's desperate for a pack of smokes. He returned a Dungeons & Dragons handheld LED back in 1990. That was like 8 years after that thing went off the market.
Crystal
is screwing the system. I'll return.
I think he got like $2 for it.
Hey, the guy probably just pocketed it.
Can't
give
you full price, but I remember in little Target lore that I don't know about 96, 97, they declared they were tired of being the Santa Claus of retail.
Yeah.
And that they were going to, you know, clamp down on their return policy, which, by all accounts, was a mild change.
Look, you have to at least bought it at Target.
Yeah,
right. We have to at least add it.
I think that was about where they were at. Like, you know, it's like, you know, we need proof that this actually was sold at a Target somewhere.
Somewhere.
It didn't have to be sold to you necessarily, but
didn't have to fall off a truck for Target. It just had to fall off somewhere.
It had to have been a Target product at some point.
It was destined for a Target at one point.
Alright, so.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a big announcement. We are going to be at Game Hole as always. So for those of you who aren't familiar with Game Hole Con, it's the first weekend of November. It's held in Madison, Wisconsin. It is a really good gaming convention. It has
it's a desktop board game. And these are some serious board gamers in that. If you're a board game tabletop person, really enthusiastic about that. This really is a good convention.
It's amazing.
It's small enough that you can get in and play for a few rupees with people, but it's also big enough that there's going to be plenty to do.
Dang straight. Registration's already open for it, so go to their website and get on the registration. This chat's going on in the background. You're about to say it.
There's hundreds of events. I mean, you can get into any type of game.
They have a free game library.
So what you're saying, it was small enough to get in and big enough to hit all the pleasure spots. Okay.
Why, yes, it is. So, but here's the big announcement this year. So, Guys Games and Beer has been covering this, so this is they've been doing it for...
Yes, Game Hole Guys.
Right, they've done this for 4 years. Their fifth year of doing it. We've covered them for 3 of the 4 years.
Yep.
The first year we did Run and Gun. No, wait, has it been 4 years we've covered them? Is this their sixth year now? No, it's their fifth year.
We missed their first year, number one. We were there.
Maybe Run and Gun did.
This is their 92nd year.
We did their Run and Gun, then we did two booths.
Because I missed the first
year.
Then
we forced our way in.
Yeah, so we did the booth the second 2 years. So this will be the fifth year of their show. Yeah. So this is their fifth anniversary. Their growth has been phenomenal. Mm. Go back, watch some of the old episodes. We've had the founders on the show. We've got a ton of coverage when we're out there. Watch it. It's an amazing show.
Orcs.
Yeah.
Who have attended.
Yeah.
Oh, crap away.
We have talked.
Get kicked out. Well, we didn't get that.
It's their fifth. Right. So here's the cool thing about this year. Guys, Games, and Beer will be broadcasting live. We'll have our podcast booth set up, and we'll be doing interviews and running our normal podcast booth. But we're doing something a little special this year. We're actually going to be running a game at Game Hole Con. We are going to be running a full Steel Battalion setup. We're looking at the
360 version.
Not the 360 version, the original version. So not only will we be doing podcasting this year, but we are going to be doing a full gaming rig out there. Definitely we'll have a full gaming area set up. Guys Games and Beer is going to kind of expand our presence there, so it should be really good.
And I'm going to be bringing up the God Sorcerer.
What else
I'm
going to
totally be bringing it. Because I think they need an adventure.
I think that's all.
It's pretty quiet right now. I think
Game Hole is our focus.
Right now. It's coming up quick. First weekend in November.
Our full attack.
We do have a couple of developers
lined
on. I've got two on the hook right now. One that's been on before. He's got a new game. I'm not ready to throw anything out yet because we're not 100% set up. They did request an interview, so we'll definitely do it. But. I don't have a date yet, so it's coming though. Next couple weeks, I would imagine.
All right.
And they'll be in the hizzle.
We love it. Again, if you're a developer, if you have a new product, if you have something you want to talk about, get a hold of us.
You're going to be a game hole, Con.
Yeah, seriously.
So you want to talk about it beforehand.
Right, so people can get excited about it before. Watch some of the Game Hole interviews. I have to say, I think some of our best developer interviews are held at Game Hole Con.
Oh, so, I would agree.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the Dungeon Interview. It's a festival of developers.
No, it's not a festival of developers, but they have a good developer presence.
That was so useless.
You didn't help me, but I needed help.
I was a bullish Cindy boy.
Because you, yeah, exactly. You guys were so fond of
I almost cried.
You guys were
I was almost in.
You guys were fawning over him.
And then he busted out stuff we didn't know.
He was a great interview and a great guy.
Yeah, so, God, watch that interview. It's like nothing like us.
No, it isn't, but it was a freaking awesome interview.
Crap.
You guys staring at the screen with my phones.
I love the Game Hole interviews. They are some of the best.
Yeah, looking forward to another year of Game Hole. So we'll have more stuff about Game Hole coming up. We'll probably get some of the founders on before that happens and have them on the show to talk a little bit more about this year's show, being it's their fifth anniversary. And again, their growth has just been explosive. You can't believe
like diarrhea.
Whether it's
liquidation sale,
like
everything,
like the Atari 2600 game, explosive diarrhea.
Yes,
you've seen that cartridge, right?
Are we gonna get that next year?
Is that
Yes, we should get that.
Yeah,
we can just order it.
Goat Star. Pack Rat would sell it to us.
Pack Rat, for sure.
There is a game explosive diarrhea for the 2600.
All your realties are over.
All right. Rob, why don't you go ahead and take us out?
For the love of God.
That was a long show, actually.
If you enjoyed this podcast, why wouldn't you? It's wonderful.
It was gold.
It was a talking black box.
Or it was golden showers.
It was golden showers, really. You can check us out at www.guysgamesandbeer.net. If you are even more interested and want to hear from us during the week when we're not recording, or would love to catch us live on Facebook, you can check us out at www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer. Not ready yet. It's close. It's close. Very soon. Very soon. The SG2B is coming. It's on its way. That was me right there. If you like yourself some Twitters, it's at guysgamesbeer. Of course, if you are sick of seeing our freaking faces. Who the hell actually watches this? Nobody. Most of you are listening to us on either iTunes or one of the many podcast aggregators out there. And if we're not on one, let us know.
And I'm thankful for that. But I recommend once in a while
looking
at us because we're awesome. Look at.
Wow, that was a good smile there. Actually, pretty good. Actually, I on the other hand, unphotogenic as fuck. Hence the reason, listen to the podcast.
Well, you know, I don't think there's anything else to say about it.
I don't think so either, Rob.
Thanks for watching.
Thanks for watching, all. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.